My guest this time is Chris Gasek. He's a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, and he joins me now to discuss the push by some to add atheist chaplains to the United States Navy. The Family Research Council, as you might imagine, is pushing back on that, as is Mississippi Republican Senator Roger Wicker, along with nearly two dozen other senators and about 40 House members. So why is this happening? What would be the impact if it's allowed to proceed? And we'll get into all this now. And Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure thing.
Well, as you point out in your own materials here, this all started back in about 2015 when a guy named Jason Heap tried to sue his way into the chaplaincy. So what is the push now? Who's behind it? And why do they want it?
The Defense Department won all the cases against Jason Heap. And so you would think that they would leave well enough alone and that therefore there wouldn't be a problem in the future. But there's a board called the Chaplain Appointment and Retention Eligibility Advisory Group that is recommending that the Navy accept him as a chaplain. So, I mean, even though he couldn't get it through the courts or through other processes, there's another group of faceless bureaucrats that, you know, have an agenda and are trying to push him through. Apparently, that's what's caused the members of the Senate to have to kind of take this up and waste a lot of time and energy on something that this is preposterous, but they need to clear out this board, whoever is on it, or this advisory group. But it's being pushed inside the Navy.
So what happens now? Who decides whether or not this actually happens?
Wicker is one of the folks is an Air Force veteran. He's a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. The way that these things usually work is they either sort of try to apply some letters and friendly pressure and, you know, things of this sort to get persuasion in their direction, or they will usually attach some sort of a rider to prevent money from being spent, you know, for an atheist chaplain or whatever. I mean, they word it in certain ways. But we'll have to see how the Navy reacts. I mean, if you had a sensible Secretary of Defense and they were in charge of these things, this would be taken care of. It's sort of kind of amazing that this is happening in the Trump administration, but there you go.
What would be the impact on the Navy, on the chaplaincy program itself, if in fact this were to be put into practice?
I do think it would be really deleterious. We can all be accused of wringing our hands and all this sort of stuff all the time, but the fact of the matter is that chaplain resources it's a scarce resource. There aren't 10 million of these folks. You have to have a religious affiliation, you have to, you know, be associated with a denomination, and then you've got to go out and serve a community of people who apparently something like 2-3% of the people in the military are atheists. So these are critical resources because you have people who are far away from home and they don't have access to religious services and many sorts of things. I mean, we often think of chaplains in times of crisis when people are wounded and they're dealing with people who are in a gray situation and, you know, giving them counseling or something like that. But they're also just doing religious services weekly. So there are a range of responsibilities that they have. And I think it's if you're going to open this up to essentially to non-theistic, non-kind of transcendental persons, this core, well, what's the limit? There's no reason to think that it would just be stuck at one, or, you know, that you wouldn't have more of them, or all sorts of people coming in here who are just basically yoga instructors or something. There's no reason to do this. And there's no ban on atheists being in the military. That's not what this is about. This is about, you know, it's like saying the pastors and priest division has to accept atheists, right? Well, you know, A does not equal B here. It's like having square wheels or something. I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine you even have to have this debate, but it's important, I think, to maintain the integrity of the institution, and that is the chaplaincy, which has gone, you know, we've had chaplains since 1775 when George Washington himself had the Congress establish chaplains.
Chris, last question.
Sure.
What's your assessment of the state of the chaplaincy even as it exists right now? I remember talking to friends over a decade ago who were thinking about going in. They were already in the service, thinking about entering into the chaplaincy, but they were so frustrated by the fact that they couldn't actually preach the gospel that they didn't even bother. So what's the status now?
I don't know that it's much better. And then you also have problems related to people being persecuted, or and maybe that's strong, but in some cases it isn't strong. In the Obama administration, you had certain social agendas being pushed, and there were people who wouldn't accede to the idea of same-sex marriage. I can imagine it's only getting worse with all these, you know, sort of new gender categories that are trying to cram down everybody's throat. And since the Bible has a sort of a set idea about sex, there being only two of them and only two genders, this isn't really going to fly for a lot of people. So there are problems. It is a calling. And with a lot of callings, people have to sort of determine that what I want to do and the community I want to serve is important enough for me to undergo these hardships, right, or these limitations. Now, I think, you know, for people who, like you're saying, who want to preach the gospel, I think they can do it. I mean, there's always opportunities for people to be one-on-one with people and also to be the eyes and ears of religious people in these organizations and to let other people know outside the organization what's going on. It's a fantastic, you know, they're chaplains organizations. And we're in touch with them quite honestly, you know, to get the best, you know, intel on how things are going. So the Chaplain Alliance is one that we've worked with closely over the years. And Ron Cruz used to be the head of that organization. And I think their work has been invaluable. So I think if you are committed to that, to the belief that men and women in the armed forces need to have access to members of the clergy when they're far away and maybe don't have access to church, you know, buildings here in America and opportunities for counseling and sharing the gospel, well, then maybe you have to sort of be willing to kind of thread the needle a little bit and work within the system. But I think the best thing to do would be to get in touch with an organization like Chaplain Alliance and find out what your particular service, the one that you're interested in, what it would be like and, you know, how you navigate those circumstances.
Chris, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Chris Gasek is a senior fellow at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.